So again, we'll start with a short mindful breathing exercise followed by motivations. Keep your back straight and also try to make yourself relaxed, comfortable, and just watch the breath mindfully. Once your mind has settled down, then we can reflect and contemplate as long as not free from the karma and the delusions. Nothing is certain, everything is so uncertain. Even we might have good health now, there's nothing guaranteed about the futures. Even though we might feel very happy at the moment, things could change as we have no control. Even we might have all the good conditions, being healthy, happy, good job, good relationship, everything. But since we are not free from the karma, we don't know what holds. Things could change. So uncertain. And even we have the best external condition at the moment, if we are not free from the delusions, we will find always some reasons to be unhappy, something to disturb our mind. Even we are in a place where there is no one to disturb us. If our mind is not free from those little emotions, even there we will find our mind disturbed. Our mind can be disturbed by the weather, by the environment around us. Disturbed by our own mind. On the other hand, if we don't have the delusions, if we are free from the delusions, even external condition might not be the best, still one will find more peace, less disturbed, more happy, joy, content, satisfied. So it's clear that what disturbs our minds make us unhappy, dissatisfied, mainly coming from our own mind, more than anything else, those delusions. In the same way, true satisfactions, joy, happiness, sense of contentment also come mainly from inside, not from outside. Something that needs to be developed from within by our own mind. That being the case, it's important to pay more attention to our own mind to reduce those defilements as much as possible, gradually eliminate them completely, and trying to cultivate those healthy positive state of minds, spiritual realizations. And to do that, we need to reflect, contemplate, meditate continuously, correctly. For that, we need to be reminded of those practices all the time. Get inspired, encouraged. For that, we need to continue to study, learn more. Listen more. Therefore, I'm going to listen, engage in discussion, reflection, contemplations. Not only listen, but if I find anything helpful, beneficial, then I will try to apply, integrate as much as possible in my everyday life. May all of us coming here together, giving our precious time, energy, resource to listen, engage in discussion, so forth. May all of this become cause and conditions to actualize our highest potential, fully awakened state. So we can fulfill the ultimate happiness for oneself and all sentient beings. Okay, refuge in bodhicitta. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merit I fail to listen to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. Sangye chodang so ge so nam ba chanjo pa do da ne ya so che da ne che je ge be so nam ge ro la pen che sangye do ba sho sangye chodang so ge so nam ba chanjo pa do da ne ya so che da ne che je ge be so nam ge ro la pen che sangye do ba sho. So good evening and welcome again. Thank you for coming. I think Saturday evening is not easy. It's for a lot of time. It's a time to spend with families, friends, after hard walks. So, but you make the effort to come. So we have been discussing about the 12th link of dependent arising, and within that we have kind of cover not a great detail but a little bit on the link of ignorance, the first one, and then the link of karmic formation, second, and the link of the consciousness. And then we are on the link of craving. So we spoke about, discussed about motivated by the ignorance, then we engage, we create, engage in the actions and create a karmic seed. And that karmic seed is planted in the mind stream, continual mind stream. And that karmic seed that has been planted in that mental continuum at the time of death is activated by the craving and grasping. So we talk on, in relation that we talk about the craving yesterday, you know, attachment, craving. So, you know, in terms of attachment or craving, then we can have craving to, you know, form, you know, such as six type of craving, you know, in relation to six different objects, you know, the sight or the form, you know, the sound, the smell, the taste, the object of touch, and the object of the mind, you know, such as view and so forth. We can have craving and attachment to all of that. And normally the attachment is a mind that not only is rooted in ignorance, but also the nature of the mind, it exaggerates more positive quality into the object than there is. So one is always rooted in a mistaken mind of ignorance, and the mind nature of the mind itself is a mistaken because it exaggerates more qualities into the objects of the attachment more than what is there. And in term of result, it always lead to sufferings. And when that craving is not abandoned through by applying the antidotes, you know, the craving, which the wish, the desire, that hold the object of attachments or the craving strongly, you know, not wanting to let it go, you know, holding very tightly, holding very tightly and not wanting to let it go. When by applying certain meditation technique or method, antidote, if you don't let go of that mind, instead when that mind increase, intensify, you know, with a, even with more fuels by the thoughts, then that become grasping, you know. Then that becomes grasping. First there is the desire, the craving, and then if you apply certain antidotes through certain practice meditation, you might be able to reduce, minimize, and overcome. But instead of applying antidote to minimize, then we continue to follow attachment. On top of that, then, you know, then with more fuel, you know, that would then, oh, I should have that. If I have that object, it will make my life more easier, more convenient. Or it will make me this and that. So more thoughts, and then that attachment, you know, whatever, intensify, become more stronger and stronger. And that become grasping. And when that grasping, then there is strong clinging to the objects, more clinging more tightly, holding more tightly to the objects than before. It becomes more difficult to let it go now. And that is the grasping. And in the grasping, you know, And then in terms of the grasping, you know, there can be, you know, grasping to the sensory objects, grasping to the wrong view, grasping to, you know, wrong or immoral and bad conduct, you know, and then grasping to the view of the self as existing inherently. So, different kind of graspings. In relation to different objects. And in the Wheel of Light, the grasping is shown as a monkey, you know, trying one fruit, you know, bite it and throw it, and take another one, bite it and throw it, and again take, try another one, bite it, take it. So again, you know, it try and then not satisfy, you know, not being happy, satisfied. It throw and hoping that, the other one will make them, give them satisfaction or what monkey is looking for. And then try that and never come to a point where you feel that's it. And so that is, I think I forgot yesterday to explain about the internal consciousness also. In the Wheel of the Life, there is also monkey jumping from one branch to another branch. So there are two kind of, you can see two monkeys in that tool. That one is jumping from one branch to another, and then one is trying the fruits, and then trying another one. That in the third ones, is jumping from one branch to another, the monkey. And that shows, it represents the consciousness is that one continue carrying the past karmic seed to present and present karmic seed to the futures. So it's like jumping from one branch to another branch. In the same way, our consciousness continue from past to present, present to future, and from future to the next, carrying that karmic seed potential. So it symbolizes, it represents that, the jumping of that. Yeah, because you can see two different monkey at two different times. So that. And then when that karmic seed is activated by the craving and grasping, you know, then now the karmic seed has fully fraternalized, you know, has come all together to produce the result the next moment. Now all the cause and conditions come together. Because all the conditions come together, you know, the result is for sure to happen. And so that is the becoming, the tenth link, becoming. And I think in the Wheel of Life, I think is presented by pregnant. You know, pregnant woman in the in the last moment, you know, the pregnancy, that the child is ready to come the next moment, you know. The child has completely grown up. All the conditions have come together for the child to come out of the mother's womb the next baby moment, next second. Now nothing can stop from that child coming. because all the conditions have already come together, have gathered together. We can stop becoming from being, you know, to put all the conditions coming together to produce. If we are able to stop activating that karmic seed by stopping the craving and grasping, you know. But if you cannot stop from activating the seed by the craving and grasping, then that's tenth, the becoming comes. You know, the link of the becoming or existence. You know, and when that happens, then is ready to produce the result. So the first three, ignorance and the karma and the consciousness, are what you call throwing or projecting cause. Throwing or projecting cause of a samsaric rebirth. Okay? And the activating causes, craving, grasping, becoming, are completing causes, actualizing or completing causes. And when those two causes come, the throwing or projecting cause that has been supported by the completing or accomplishing causes, then next the result. Then next, you know, at the time of death, the consciousness leave the body. And the consciousness, with the moment the consciousness leave the body, then that is what we call death. The moment the consciousness be separated or leave from the body, then the death. And so, you know, after that, you know, the consciousness leave, and then, you know, in turn, you know, sperm and eggs of the mother at the time of conceptions. And at the time of conceptions, the moment, you know, as in the scripture it explained, you know, many conditions have to come together to the child. You know, it talked about the sperm and eggs has to be defect, you know, and then also the emotions involved, you know. And so then when all conditions are right, then the mind enter and conceptions happens. At the time of conceptions, then that is the name and form. The result start there, name and form. So in this case, the form referred to embryo at that time, you know, the sperm and egg or the embryo, you know, that will develop as an haplotype shape and so forth later, you know, that embryo at that moment is the form. And the four aggregates, the aggregate of feeling, discriminating, mind, compositional factor, mind and consciousness are referred as a name. So name here refers to the four other aggregates, and the form refer to the physical aggregates of embryo at that moment. So from Buddhist point of view, you know, there's very subtle level of feeling, even in that time. You know, maybe the feelings are so subtle, maybe at the moment, the technology not being able to, what you call, have not been able to recognize or find out. I think with a better technology, we are finding more and more that children have feelings much more earlier than they thought before, you know, in terms of weeks. And I think, so anyway, so those five aggregates of the new life have started. Okay? The five aggregates of this new life have started, and that is the name and form. And those, yeah, that embryo become the cause to develop, you know, our physical body over the time, you know, that become the primary cause, substantial cause for the, our body. And the aggregates, other four aggregates act as a, you know, supportive or cooperating causes for the body, whereas, you know, each of those aggregates for the mind, you know, become the substantial, those moments that become cause for our following, you know, following feeling, discriminating mind, composition of pattern and consciousness, you know. And in the wheel of the life, the name and form is presented as a person in a boat, you know, riding a boat. Riding, yeah, riding a boat. Rowing, rowing a boat, yeah, is presented in that way. So in that, the boat presents the physical aggregate, the form, you know. And then the person in the boat represents the name aggregates, the other four aggregates, you know. Because without the physical body, in our cases, the mind cannot sustain by itself. It relies on the body, you know. It's like the horse to which to ride, the mind to ride on, you know. It's the medium, you know. So that's that the boat, the person rowing the boat, in terms of the, yeah, you see that. And the next link, and so from due to coming together of those five aggregates at the time of conceptions, you know, then that give rise to the next link, you know, then the next link of sixth sense power or sixth sense sources, and which are, you know, the eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the body, and, you know, consciousness sources. So the six senses are the, like the tools or the medium for the consciousness to experience the objects. You know, without the six senses, the consciousness cannot experience the objects. So the six senses are like, you know, when the object, when you see some physical thing, when it's too small, when we cannot see with our naked eye, when we cannot experience or see, then you rely on microscope to be able to see it. And the microscope help you to be able to see and experience the most small objects, particles. Similarly, that is, the six senses act as that allow our consciousness to experience the objects. without the six senses, the consciousness cannot experience the objects. Even with the eye sense consciousness and the object of eye sense consciousness, the form, the shape, color is there, but if there is something wrong with your eye senses, sources, then your eye consciousness cannot perceive and experience that. And I think that's probably what happens when people have accident and when there's a damage to some of their senses, you know, then their consciousness is unable to functions and perceive and experience objects of that consciousness. Because even though through such accident, even though it hasn't damaged the consciousness itself, but the medium through which it experienced the objects has been damaged. The senses, has, the sense faculty or sources or the power have been damaged. And so therefore, it's like, you know, your eye is okay, but through which you see the microscope has been damaged, you know. The microscope has been damaged, so then you cannot see properly. So that is, you know, the name and link is the from the moment of conceptions before prior to the coming of the six senses. And the six senses are there from that moment until the next link, the contact, prior to the contact. So again, you know, that is why, because it's the six senses that allow our consciousness to experience the objects, you know. So if we can protect our six senses, then we can protect from, by experiencing certain objects, then arising of those different affective emotions. And therefore, you know, in the teachings, they say, you know, one of the cause for arising or delusions is, you know, not paying attention to your senses, you know, allowing our senses to follow whatever it go, wherever it wants, instead of being more mindful and having some, trying to have, you know, some control over that. So anyway, those six senses, and that six senses then lead to the next link, the link of the contact. So by the time of the six senses, you know, the six senses are called as six sense power or sources, you know, because is the source for the consciousness to arise, you know. So at that time, the six sense objects are there, the six sense consciousness are there, and the six sense sources or faculty are there, all there, but still it hasn't experienced the objects, you know. It is still not experiencing the objects. So then the next contact is the one, you know. Then after the sixth sense is being developed, fully developed, the six senses are developed, then the consciousness is able to contact the objects through the senses. The eye consciousness is able to perceive and experience the shape and color, the form through the eye sense faculties. The ear consciousness is able to, you know, come into contact and experience the sounds. And same with, you know, the nose consciousness is able to, you know, come in contact with the object and experience the smell through the nose sense faculty or sense sources. And so then you know, when all coming together or aggregate or coming together of the six sense consciousness, the six sense faculties, and the six objects of those six sense consciousness coming together, you know, then, you know, the consciousness is able to come into contact with the objects, and having come into contact with the objects, then is able to experience the objects. So the contact allow the consciousness to experience the objects through those senses, sense sources. Even though there is sense consciousness, even though there is sense power, even there is object, if the consciousness doesn't come into contact with the objects through those senses, then one will not experience the objects. Also, part of the contact is functioning of contact is also the contact also distinguish the objects, you know, the distinguish the objects as attractive, not attractive, unattractive, neutral. That is also the contact. The also one of the functioning of the contact is also it does that too. The consciousness come in contact the objects, and then having come into contact with the objects, then it distinguish or interpreted or project these objects as attractive, these objects as unattractive, these objects as neutral, and so forth. And that lead to the next link, the link of feelings, you know. So in terms of the contact in the wheel of life, I think there's the pictures of someone being pricked by the arrow. No, I think of sleeping. Is this, that is feeling. So contact is there's a drawing of men and women's sleeping together, of that coming into contact, that one. So coming together, two objects in contact, you know. Here, the subject, the consciousness, coming in contact with the objects through the senses, the sense sources. So again, one way of disrupting such chain of the link is again by disrupting the contact with the objects. In that cases, then, you know, again, you know, Buddha, out of his compassion, he taught many different methods how to dealing with the afflicted emotions, depending on your level of practice. For a very beginner who doesn't have strong practice, who doesn't have a strong tools or practice meditation to overcome those afflictive emotions, you know, he advised and suggests, you know, to keep distant from the object of, to keep distant from the objects that give rise to those afflictive emotions. not to have contact with those objects. Because if you come in contact with that object, because we don't have strong tools, method to overcome that, then afflictive emotions arises. And that is the role of the practice of moral discipline. All the different rules, regulation, and moral discipline is part of that for the beginner, you know. And again, if someone like to have problem in addictions and they don't have the mental capacity to resist, you know, they haven't built up strong, what you call, resistance to that substance, where they have strong will or determinations or whatever resistance that you need mentally, physically, so that you can you don't relapse. When you don't have that power, the best is to distance themselves from those objects. The best is to keep not come in contact with those substances, keep away from that. Once you have developed strong, you know, resistance mentally, physically, through different training method and practice, then, you know, even you come in contact with the substance, you know, it will not be tempting, and it will not, you will not relapse, you know. Same, once someone has developed higher level of meditation and practice, such as very strong level of mindfulness, shamatha, you know, then, you know, even you come in contact with the objects, because of your strong practice of mindfulness or shamatha, you know, you have tools to not allow those delusions to arise so easily and become so strong. And then for even more higher practitioners who have developed the wisdom, realizing the emptiness, special insight, you know, then not only they have the capacity, the ability from not allowing the delusion to arise and to become strong, they have the tools to destroy the delusion completely from the very root of it. And so that is, you know, Buddha's advice and guidance according to the level of the practitioners. And so especially for the beginners, when we don't have all these tools, is keep distant and not have contact with the objects. Otherwise, that will give rise to the delusions. You know, if there is some objects that make you very upset and angry, and you cannot stop being upset and angry, when you come in contact with that object, you don't have the practice tool to stop it, then better keep distant. If there is an object that gives rise to attachments, and you don't have the tool to deal with that attachments, you don't have the right practice, meditation, tools to resist that attachment to certain levels, you know, then again it's better to keep distant from that object, not coming in contact with that object. And then you build up slowly the tools, the practice, the meditations, and then as you build up, then as your practice gets more better and stronger, then you don't have to, you know, keep distant. Even if you come in the contact with the object, it's not a problem, because you have tool not to be tempted by those objects. So again, you know, by cutting the contact, we can also kind of, you know, cut the chain of that link, you know, to a certain aspect. Next is the feeling. So again, the feelings, you know, three type of feelings, pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neutral feelings. And those different feelings arises in relation to how our mind or the contact mind, the mental factor of that contact, how it distinguish the objects. When we distinguish that objects as attractive, nice, beautiful, good, then, you know, pleasant feeling arises in relation to that. When you experience that objects, when you experience that objects, you know, when you come in contact with that objects, then, you know, pleasant feeling arises. On the other hand, when our mind, the contact mind, distinguish that object as unattractive, not nice, bad, then when our mind come in contact with that, and when you experience that object, the feeling is unpleasant. The feeling is unpleasant. Unpleasant feelings. On the other hand, you know, when our mind distinguishes that object as more neutral, then feeling that arises from that, by experience that object, coming in contact, that also is more neutral. Neither very pleasant, neither unpleasant, more neutral. So what kind of feeling arises, you know, again, it depends on the previous contact, how we distinguish. Again, with that, what it shows is, you know, we can also disrupt this chain of link by how we distinguish the objects. What kind of feeling it arises, a lot of time, it depends on how we distinguish the objects, the situations, isn't it? It can be same object, it can be same situations, but our mind can interpret as a problem, or our mind can interpret or distinguish as an opportunity. Depending on that, you will have a different feeling towards that, different feeling response to that. When your mind distinguish and interpret it as a problem, then it become a problem, and you have resistance to that. And we develop unpleasant feeling in relation to coming in contact with such experience, situation, and so forth. On the other hand, it's the same situation, but our mind can distinguish and interpret as is an opportunity, great opportunity, something positive. And when you interpret that, when we distinguish in that way, we have less resistance to that. We have less resistance to that. We have less feeling of pain and unpleasant feeling when we experience such situation, when we come in contact with such situation and experience such situations. So, not only from the point of 12 link that we are talking about, you know, but even in our life, you know, how emotionally we respond and how we feel about certain situations, certain things, certain objects, all of that. Even though a lot of time we feel like there's nothing to do with me, it's all coming from that side. The reason I'm feeling, the way I'm feeling, is something to do with from that objects. But if we really analyze it, more than from the other side, is how you interpret that, is how you interpret it, how your mind distinguish it. And that means, once we realize that, once we understand that, then that means the ball is in our hand, not in someone's hand. You know, Whether you suffer because of that situation or whether you don't suffer because of that situation is not dependent on other person, but is more dependent on your mind, how your mind interpreted, how your mind is distinguish that. And that is whole practice of Lojong is also like that. The whole practice of Lojong is that. The Lojong practice of mind training Lojong are way to see all this. Normally we feel difficult situation, problem, obstacles, challenging situation, experiences, whatever. It's a training to see something positive, something meaningful, instead of seeing as something negative, obstacles, problem, bad, but it's training to see something positive, something meaningful, something helpful. And by being able to see it that way, by being able to, when you are able to, through such training, when you are able to see it that way, then you have different emotional reactions, different feeling towards that, and you don't suffer. You don't suffer so much. So, and then, you know, when there is a pleasant feelings, due to that pleasant feeling, so these are the six results, okay? The six result, not six, oh, sorry, I haven't finished this, all the six result, the last one. So feeling in that, there is in the wheel of the light, then there is an arrow that has been hit on someone's eyes, and then the person feeling the pain from the air. So as a result, name and form, six senses, contact, you know, name and form, six senses, contact, feeling, and then aging and death, and where is the one, which one is birth, okay, yeah, birth and then aging. Then the birth, you know. So in the wheel of life, in the drawing, it shows the mother giving the birth of the child. But here, you know, the birth has already started the moment the conception happens. Okay? So the birth and the name and form actually happen simultaneously. The moment of conception happened, the moment the consciousness has entered in the embryo or the sperm and egg, and that moment the birth of new life have already started. The birth of new life have already started. No. Birth has already happened. And then from the very moment, from the very moment of the birth, the aging has already started. And in terms of understanding aging, we can understand progressive aging and deteriorating aging. You know, I think probably we don't mind the progressive aging. You know, but we do mind and we don't want to have the deteriorating aging. But that is part of the life. You know. So again, progressive aging has already started from the very moment of the birth. So aging has already started. We call aging because it's a progressive aging. You know. And then after a certain, it's, of course, it's all relative, you know. When does the deteriorating aging start? You know, it could be very relative, but definitely, you know, our bodies start to become less and less strong, more and more weak. In some cases, our mind also, you know, become more and more weak, not as sharp as before, you know, and all of that, so that agings. And then finally, you know, the death. You know, the death could happen while we're in mother's womb, you know, the first week, first month, until the 9-10 months, or it could happen immediately after the birth, coming from mother's womb, and it could happen from first year until hundreds, and more than 100 years in between that. Death could happen any time, where the life come to the end, where the consciousness leave the body. And that is the death, that is the end of this particular life. And in terms of the wheel of the life, there is the drawing of a old person walking with a cane and carrying a corpse, dead body. So the old person that is walking with a cane, because unable to walk by itself because of the weakness of the body, so that symbolize or represent the aging, and the carrying the dead body, the corpse, is the dead. It represents the dead, so the aging and the dead. And then in as Rice said in sutras, as he said, then due to that death, you know, by experiencing the death or going through the death, then you know, sorrow, you know, limitations, you know, then you know, unhappiness, conflict, and all those different pain and suffering arises, and then the heap of sufferings that one go through or experience. So in these cases, you know, the one set of 12 link is completed within two lifetime. The six causes in one lifetime and the six result in the next lifetime. You know, for example, maybe, you know, someone take a life of someone, and that out of ignorance. Due to the ignorance, someone takes someone's life, and that karma exists, living consciousness, and at the time of death, that karma exists of that taking someone's life, or this particular taking life, has been activated through craving, grasping, and then, you know, fully activated and become the becoming. So those six are the causes, and then immediately the next life, let's say in the lower rebirth, and then all six results come in that. The six results always come in one lifetime. Between the name and form to the dead, always happen in one lifetime. There's no intervention between that. Even you have lived very short life, still that is within, it happens within that. Whereas the two causes, the throwing cause and completing or accomplishing cause, between those two, then there can be an intervention of other lifetime. So for example, you know, taking someone's life, out of ignorance, taking someone's life, karma is created, and that karma seed is left in consciousness. At the time of death, instead of activating this karmic seed, you activate another karmic seed. Okay? So you don't experience the result of this particular karmic seed, because at the time of death, you activated karmic seed or another karma. You know, let's say a positive karma, another positive karma seed, you activate it. So in that case, in relation to your link of this particular set, you only completed the first three calls. And that karmic seed is still in your mental continuum. Then maybe next life, or maybe after 10 life, or after 20 life, or after 100 life, or after 1,000 life, 100,000 lives, that karmic seed you are carrying of that particular killing can be activated at the time of death. Are we clear? And at that time, when you activate it, then that time craving, grasping, existing comes. Those three together at the time of death. So then it took one life to experience the first three, ignorance, karma, and the consciousness. Then it took another one life to complete that causes through craving, grasping, and becoming. And then the next one, you experience the sixth result. And so it takes three lifetimes to complete. So in completing one set of 12 links, the longest can be three lifetimes, and fastest or shortest is two lifetimes. Complete each set of the link. So then, you know, if we don't want the suffering of sickness, aging, and death, then you have to stop the previous link of samsara rebirth, you know. And in order to stop the samsara rebirth, then you have to stop the link of becoming, and then back to the link of ignorance, the very beginning. And by stopping that link of ignorance, by cutting and destroying the ignorance, then there is no more remaining, there is no more following remaining link, and therefore there is no more sufferings. And then, you know, there is no more continued vicious cycle of birth and death. Samsara birth and death and the sufferings. And so, and then one can achieve the liberation, nirvana. So that is kind of a little bit onto your link. In terms of the wheel of life, you know, at the very middle, you see three animals, the pig, the bird, and the snake. And next circle, you see on the right side is the dark, the left side is the white. And the white side, you see people going upwards, and the dark side coming downwards. And then next is the six lamps. You see the six lamps. And then the last circle is the 12th link. And with the 12 link, we talk about each 12 different drawing, what it represents, each of those link. You know, the middle one, three animal represent the three root delusion or three poisonous, we call, you know, the ignorance, attachment, anger. You know, the pig symbolize the ignorance, the snake symbolize the anger, the bird symbolize the attachment. And in more, if you follow, it's more specific explanation in Vinaya, as explained by Buddha, normally from the pig, then the pig's mouth, then there is the snake and the bird coming. Nowadays, sometimes you see pictures coming home from the pig, maybe the bird, from the bird, then it's snake, like that, you know, circle instead of two. For artistic, maybe it look better, you know, when it's circle one after another. Maybe that is more kind of artistic freedom, maybe the artist artists make those freedom to do that, but actually if you try to be more precise.
This our picture's got the coming from the pig.
Okay, yeah, this one comes from the old pigs. And so that one is the more accurate, because both attachment and anger come through the ignorance. Both of them rooted in the ignorance. So that is that. And then the dark represents the negative karma, and the white, the next circle, you know, the white and with a beam going up, that symbolizes the white karma, virtuous karma, still contaminated karma. You know, it's the virtuous but still contaminated karma. That's why within this samsaric cycle. And then the other beings going downwards and up symbolize the negative karma. So that shows. And so then the sixth realm, next one, with the individual suffering of six realms. So it's a drawing of individual sufferings of six realms. So the six realms with their sufferings, it shows the suffering of truth. And then the two inner circle shows the truth of origin, the cause or origin of the sufferings. That's the karma and the delusions. Okay? The karma and the delusions are the cause. And then the suffering of six realms at the result, the truth of the sufferings. And then there is this Lord of the Dead holding it with the hands and the legs, you know, and kind of in a hand. It symbolizes the Lord of the Dead, impermanent and dead. And impermanent dead, being in the fang of that is, you know, you never know when it's going to come. You know, when you are in fang of, like, let's say a line or something, you never know when they're close or in a crocodile. You know, you don't want to put them under. You know. So similarly like that, you know, that it can come anytime. And then with the hands and the legs holding it, you know, the whole is, you know, under the truth of suffering and the origin of the sufferings. And then you see on the side, there is a moon, the Buddha's, you know, showing or pointing his hand towards that, and that symbolizes the cessations, the liberations. The moon symbolizes the cessations. I can sometimes in some drawing they draw also like Pure Land and others, but again this seems to be more specific. As it explained in the Vinaya, you know, sometimes instead of the moon, sometimes you see some other drawing like Pure Land and something like that. But in the Vinaya, it's more of that the moon that symbolizes the Nirvana, the cessations. So Buddha is saying, you know, the way to get out of, by getting out of this samsara, then you need to achieve these liberations. The cessations. And then normally there is a down here there's a two verses, you know, two verses written there, and that symbolize the path, you know, the noble path. And with that then it includes all the Four Noble Truths in that. And so the verses that is make effort and destroy it, you know. Meaning that make the effort and destroy the karma and the delusions, you know. Enter the Buddha Dharma. By entering the Buddha Dharma, by engaging in the practice of Buddha Dharma, eliminate the lot of death like an elephant destroy a grass hut. Whoever takes a practice of Vinaya, moral discipline, with a great consciousness and will abandon the cycle of rebirth and bring an end to the sufferings. So that directly explaining that one need to engage in the practice of moral discipline as the foundations. On the basis of the foundation of moral discipline, that you engage in the practice of meditative concentration, shamatha, and through the tools of shamatha, then you develop special insight, the wisdom realizing emptiness, and through that, then you eliminate and destroy the contaminated karma and the delusions, the root of the samsara. And by destroying that, then there is no more result of this such samsaric rebirth as a result of the karma and the delusions. And when there is no more samsaric rebirth, then there is no more aging and the death. And that is how you free yourself from the samsara and achieve the liberations. So with that, then it concludes the with these pictures, then it's in the drawing, you explain both 12 link as well as the Four Noble Truth. So then, yeah, I can take a couple of questions if there is any questions. Yes, please.
I guess a few of us were talking today or yesterday, this morning, in regards to something you were talking about last night with the four conditions of a karma to become a fruitional projecting karma. If you fulfill those four conditions of the object, the action,
intention
and completion, can that karmic result also be a non-projecting karma, or can it only be a projecting karma?
Mm-hmm. For a projection karma, it has to be complete karma with all these four conditions fulfilled. But if all four conditions does it have to be a throwing karma of the rebirth? I'm not so sure. Maybe we have all the four conditions, but maybe, you know, karma can be still small, relatively. And in that cases, whether it become a throwing karma, just as in terms of idle gossips, or even small lies, we could engage with those with all the four conditions. But whether that would be a cause for a throwing karma for a lower rebirth, I'm not sure. You know, to me it feels like it's not. You know, I'm not 100% sure. Sorry for that.
This is a question related to the contact link. What is the cause of the mental consciousness making the distinguishment of pleasant or unpleasant?
More than pleasant, pleasant or pleasant, unpleasant or attractive or unattractive. It could be contributed by many factors, you know. Sometimes it can be contributed by the society, you know, in the society, what you believe is beautiful, attractive, and in your society, what you believe is not beautiful, unattractive. You know, if you try to find definitions of what is beautiful or attractive or not attractive, probably according to different culture, you might find difference. So it can be influenced from the past as well, you know, imprint, as well as your own perceptions about, you know, what you believe to be pleasant, unpleasant, or attractive, unattractive, as well as it can be also contributed by the society that we live in. So it can have many different contributing factors. I don't think we can say there's only one specific contributing factor. It can be contributed by many different factors.
So the link of existence, is that a mental factor of intention?
Sipa. It's a consciousness. So that is the third one is causal consciousness, and the tenth one is more resultant consciousness. So, you know, in third one, the karmic seed is there carrying it. The consciousness, continuity of that consciousness that is carrying that karmic seed, when that karmic seed is activated fully in within that consciousness, then I think that is what it is called. And it is the mental consciousness within that mental consciousness, that seed which has been fully activated, you know, fully activated. So therefore the third and the tenth, that's what they say, the causal consciousness and resultant consciousness, you know, both of them consciousness which carrying one karmic seed and the other ones, the karmic seed being fully activated within that consciousness.
So Chris from online would like to know, can Geshe-la explain how and when the mind forms from the karmic seeds and then how it interacts with the six consciousnesses post after there is form and name?
I'm not 100% sure whether I got the question right or not. You know, as we mentioned, you know, there is a certain karma, we create the karma, and then karmic seed is within consciousness, and then that is activated by craving, grasping, and then become existent, and that produce the birth, and with that new birth, then the name and form is produced. And with that name and form, it's produced by the previous karma and the consciousness, you know. And that continue, that the sixth consciousness, of course, the mental consciousness at the time of death, the five sense consciousness dissolve, you know. The perceptions or the sense consciousness, the five sense consciousness or the perception dissolve. And then not only the sense consciousness, but also the growth level of the consciousness also dissolve. And slowly the subtle level of consciousness also dissolve. And then only the most subtle consciousness, the continuity of that most subtle consciousness continue, you know, together with the karma, and then that karma, and then when the name of form, you know, then at the name of form, part of the name, there's, you know, the four aggregates of feeling, discriminating mind, conscious, compulsional factor of mind, and consciousness, you know, already there, you know. And then again, you know, as through, so when the sixth consciousness dissolve, the five sense consciousness dissolve because the sense faculties of power to whom the sense consciousness rely on dissolve, you know. So when that the consciousness to whom it rely on those the senses, the physical senses, the five senses, you know, cannot function, is unable to function, and therefore the consciousness which rely on them also cannot function, and they also cease, you know. But the seed of that still continues, you know. The seed of those consciousness continue with that consciousness, part of that consciousness, the aggregate of consciousness. And then when the senses are developed, and then there is the objects, and there is the seed of those sense consciousness within that consciousness aggregate. And then when the sense faculties are developed, then again it finds the medium for those six sense consciousness to come in contact and experience the objects, and then again those come into the existence because now it can function, because there's a medium for it to function or to come into contact with the object and experience the objects.
Vincent is following up on Chris's question. The previous primary consciousness comes into the body, so not necessarily the karmic seed creates this primary consciousness. Is this right? Did he understand correctly?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think there might be a slightly different understanding according to a slightly different school of thoughts, you know, in the mind only school of thoughts, you know, your mind create the, you know, potential or the seed, and then when time comes, you know, that potential, one part of the potential become the consciousness, one part of the potential or the seed become the objects of that consciousness. But in the Middle Way School, they don't have the same explanations. So the primary cause or the substantial cause of the consciousness has always been, always need to be consciousness. Something which is not consciousness cannot act as a substantial cause for the consciousness. And so we cannot say the karmic seed is a consciousness. And therefore we cannot say the karmic seed is the substantial cause for the consciousness. So therefore substantial cause for the consciousness has to be a preceding consciousness. Whereas the karmic seed, the potential of that can act as a cause for the physical aggregate, and then the previous moment of consciousness become the substantial cause for the consciousness. Yeah. Okay, then we'll do the dedications. Yeah.